Our text for this morning's meditation is from Ephesians 4, these words, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think we all know what a good coat of paint can do. Good coat of paint. Good coat of paint can cover all sorts of problems, all sorts of troubles, all sorts of blemishes, all sorts of rust and corrosion. But only for a little while, right? Only for a little while. I think we've all purchased things, maybe like a bicycle, snowblower, a car, or even a house that looked wonderful. Almost perfect, even. And they looked that way, those things that we purchased, because of the fresh coat of paint that had been applied to them. Yes, we purchased those wonderful things only to discover, even within a few days of our purchase, that such paint, coating of paint, had covered a serious flaw. Serious flaw. So what then does paint, the fresh coat of paint that covers a serious flaw, have to do with our text this morning? These words of the Holy Spirit from Ephesians, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor." You know, it's common to think when we hear this text, when we read it in Holy Scripture, that what we're being told to do is to always say what we think. That is, whatever comes to mind whenever we run into someone else. So if a friend, for example, asks us what we think of their new outfit, we tell them the truth. The first thing that comes into our mind, it's ugly. It's the truth. And if her boss asks us about a new idea being floated around in a meeting, we tell her the truth. It's stupid. That's a stupid idea, boss. And if someone asks us how our child is doing in school, we speak the truth. He's failing. He's awful. Doesn't do a thing. We don't do that, do we? We don't do that. Instead, we normally use the idea of best construction that we learned in confirmation class from the Eighth Commandment. Best construction now described the new catechism of explaining everything in the kindest way. So what is our text about then? That is the abandoning of falsehood as we put off the old self, or the old Adam, as it's called elsewhere, our sinful flesh, and we speak the truth. What's that about? We all know, I think, when we're putting the best construction on a situation in our speech, and when we conversely are simply lying. Using our speech as a fresh coat of paint, so to speak, to cover up, to hide, to conceal our weaknesses, our faults, our fears, our failures. Speaking the truth is therefore presenting ourselves to the world as we are, as we are. Not as what we want to be, or would like to be, or hope to be, or even think we should be. Here we can think of Shakespeare's famous line, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players." But that's not quite what Shakespeare was getting at there, that we present ourselves to the world as characters in a play, acting out the roles we wish we had in the world. But that's certainly our temptation, isn't it? Certainly our temptation to become character players in the world. And we all seem to know when it's happening, when we see it. We run into it, for example, at the state fair in the building there where the salesmen and women are hawking their wares, or when we go to buy a car at a dealership, or a home from a realtor, or to get a loan from a bank. We are foolish in those situations if we do not weigh what we're told, being careful to discern what is most certainly true what's sort of true, what may be true, and what may in fact not be true. That's how business is done, isn't it? But here's a wrinkle. With the advent of the internet, truth has come roaring into such conversations, as what is asserted as the truth can be quickly checked on our phones, prices compared to other offerings elsewhere, and performance claims compared to thousands of reviews instantly available to us to peruse. I mean, taking Facebook and Twitter and other such social media available to us into account, we could argue that it's getting harder and harder and harder to present ourselves to the world as anything other than what we really are. But we try, don't we? And the world tries. And so we still, on occasion, have conversations with people after which we have to scratch our heads and wonder if anything that we were told, anything that was said, anything that was related to us was actually the truth. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Well, if we don't know if what we are told is the truth or not, how can we respond? How can we react? How can we know what to say? If we've ever had the experience of interacting with someone who simply lies constantly to us, telling us what they think we want to hear in order to get from us what they want or to present themselves to us in a certain way, we know that ultimately we simply have had to walk away, to abandon that person, to no longer interact with that person because there was no way that we could interact with them because there simply was no truth. No truth to what they said, ever. Our Savior Jesus, would that we not live with each other in that way. That between us as those who believe in him and have his Spirit dwelling within us, we speak truly, truly, without falsehood, in love. So that's one of the reasons, just one of the reasons, that we begin our worship service with the confession of sins. For there at that moment, not only are we only confessing to our Father in heaven that we have... We're not only confessing to him what we have done and what we haven't done, but we are also confessing to those who are standing beside us, and those who are standing in front of us, and those who are standing behind us the same as well. This is who I am, folks, a poor, miserable sinner. We don't present ourselves to our Savior Jesus, dressed in white, our heads in the air, thinking how happy Jesus is that we have deigned to come into his presence this morning for a few moments, taking time out of our busy, 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 busy schedule to do so. But instead, in the confession of sins, what do we do but present ourselves to our Savior Jesus just as the paralytic in the gospel reading? This is who I am, Jesus. This is who I am. What I need more than anything is to have my sins, my faults and failings, which I so try to hide from the world with my speech, forgiven. Forgiven so that I can then have the confidence and strength and courage simply to speak truly. And what does our Savior Jesus then do? He says to us through the mouth of his called and ordained servant of the word, the pastor, what does he say to us? He says what? I forgive you. Your sins, they're forgiven. Take up your bed and go home. You're healed of the paralysis of your mind that occurs when you are constantly speaking falsely to cover up yourself. You're forgiven. You're forgiven. Speak the truth like I spoke the truth and continue to speak the truth to you through my word. Now, think of that. Think of that. Think of the words of Jesus recorded for us in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the words in red if you have a red letter Bible, the words of Jesus. They're powerful, aren't they? And they're powerful, first and foremost, because they are the words of God spoken directly to us. But they are also powerful because they simply are the truth. So Jesus prayed to his Father, to our Father in heaven, sanctify them, that is, his disciples, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in what? In truth. I don't ask, Jesus continued, for these only, but for all those who will believe to me through the, in me through their word, that's us, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What was Jesus praying there? He was praying that we would live nowadays, right now, in the truth that he was the only begotten Son of the Father, sent into the world to preach the truth, that through him and him alone we have the forgiveness of sin, falsehood, and the strength to live daily in the confession that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is our Savior, that Jesus is our Redeemer, that Jesus is our God, and that is the stage. That reality, that's the stage upon which we as Christians live. And we're not on that stage merely players, but beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, united with him by the Holy Spirit, brought by him into union and communion and fellowship of the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. That's the truth in which we live. And the truth in which we can speak to one another and understand one another, for all falsehood has been put aside. He who's of the truth listens to my voice, is what Jesus said to Pilate. And of course, Pilate responded the way the world still responds. What is truth? What is truth? You know, lately, over the past few years, few or so, it has become more and more common to hear something like, well, that's your truth. This is my truth. Now, it used to be that we would say this. We'd say, well, that's just your opinion. This is my opinion. Rating whatever someone said by its political value to the body politic. But now we've gone deeper, for each of us can apparently live by that which we acknowledge to be the truth, to be what is, to be reality. But this simply isn't so. Even every life lives short of the truth of Jesus Christ in the context of the communion of our very Creator and Sanctifier and Redeemer is nothing but a life constructed upon falsehood, upon corruption, and desires that appear to present life to us in one way, but they simply lie when they do so, our desires. That's why they're called deceitful desires. Will this activity bring us happiness? No. Ultimately, sadness. Will this purchase bring me the joy of usage? No. The anguish of debt. Will this redefinition of myself solve all my problems? No. It will merely compound them. The truth that's found in Jesus, the very Son of God, whose words are truth and bring to us truth, so that we may live in truth and speak to one another about it every single day. If we want happiness, if we want joy, if we want to know exactly how we should think and speak about ourselves, it is there, right there, in the truth of Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.